Hello and welcome to WrestleWolf, Brother Dudes and Dudettes. This is your Impact Wrestling review and recap. I'm your host, Dr. Damian Gibson. Let's get into it. First of all, I apologize for the delay. There's been some things going on here that have just got in the way of the usual schedule. It'll be back on track this week. Things are opening up here in Melbourne, and there's a whole bunch of things going on in my personal life. All good, but have just got in the way of being able to watch a bunch of wrestling. I find as you get older and take on more responsibilities, it's a little hard to try and justify watching 5 to 6 hours of wrestling each week. But anyway, let's get on with it, shall we? Yeah, AEW changing the schedule around is completely throwing me as well. But anyway, Impact have started showing their YouTube shows for members in 1080p. I did reach out to them and ask them about that. They didn't reply, but this week 1080p exists. So I'm not saying that was because of me, but it was. No, I appreciate if I assume other people had asked about this as well. People spend a lot of money on 4K TVs and stuff, and to only be able to watch stuff in 720p. I know that sounds like nitpicking, but it's weird when companies do that they film things in 1080p but then don't stream them in 1080p. I don't know whether it costs more to put stuff out that way. But anyway, so we've got another triple threat X Division qualifying match. We've got Phantasmo versus Rohit Raju and Willie Mack. I was pretty sure that Willie Mack was going to get the win here. He didn't. Phantasmo has won and will be in the three-way final for the X Division. Is this the number one? No, it's for the belt. It's for the vacant belt because Josh Alexander vacated the belt. Phantasmo's got a great blend of flippy dude stuff and old school 80s heel moves like back rakes and eye pokes. You don't see enough of that. I think the Attitude Era's got a lot to answer for. ECW and the Attitude Era. In the sense of like, because the Attitude Era became so story driven, and Stone Cold and to a lesser extent The Rock were heels that got over mammothly, WWE in particular have really not been it just feels like they chase their own tails a lot on how to tell a story, when I think the foundations of how to tell a good wrestling story are the same now as they were 40-50 years ago. And using little things like Phantasmo does, like back rakes. I mean, I don't see what the difference is between someone back raking someone and someone doing a suicide dive onto six people who just happened to be standing there waiting for a wrestler to jump over the ropes. Like, if a new generation can suspend their disbelief for the amount of rope work that happens in matches, there's no reason why someone poking someone else in the eye isn't a legitimate storytelling technique. I'm really happy, that Phantasmo got the win here. Even though it's kind of Bullet Club light, and Bullet Club are kind of going through a rebuilding period in Japan at the moment anyway. Like, I know Kenta's in Bullet Club, and there's some decent names in there, but I think this little mini USA Bullet Club is cool, especially for Impact. And the only way to really build up the name is to put those performers in big matches. So that was good. Savannah Evans versus Lady Frost was next. This match was a little clunky to start with and sort of continued to be a bit slow. I think most of the blame for this falls on Evans. It's not, I mean, she's super green. I think I've only seen her wrestle in two matches so far, and I don't know how much experience she's had prior to Impact, but it just shows that she's still a little tentative in ring. Even though Evans got the win here to build her up as a bruiser, I think Lady Frost is the pick out of the two if we're looking to future stars. Deanna Purrazzo comes to the ring now. Purrazzo still has problems with promos. Like, she sounds really nervous to the point where her voice starts shaking at times. And not that I'd like to agree with WWE, but if that was something that was happening in NXT, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't have been if it's happening on Impact, I could see 100% why you would cut her. It's really important. I mean, especially in 2021, being able to be good on the stick, as they say, is crucial. Like, and you either need to get a manager and let your in-ring work do the talking. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the option. Aiden English, I think, might be her real-life boyfriend, and I know that's not what he's called in Impact. It takes me a while to transition to new names. And he keeps coming out to the ring with her, but then she cuts her own promo. And I understand not wanting to have, you know, a man do the talking for a woman and blah, 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 blah. So I didn't mean to be dismissive with that. But, you know, like, you don't want it to look like, I'm the boyfriend, I'll do the talking here, even though she's the champion. But if she's at the point where she's cutting promos and sounds like this, like, it's... you just can't, it for me as a viewer, it completely takes me out of any promo that she's doing. If she has to be angry and yell and scream in a promo to get up for it, then that's what she needs to do all the time. Because you can't have your champion of any division cutting promos where they sound like this. It just doesn't, especially if they're a heel. I mean, it doesn't instill any fear at all, right? Just like, it just sounds like someone's having a nervous breakdown in the ring. We cut backstage, Gail Kim's being interviewed, she's talking about the Knockouts Knockdown pay-per-view that happened on the weekend, which I didn't get a chance to watch, so I didn't review that one. But the big news out of that is that the Inspiration, formerly known as the Iconics, God, it gets confusing, doesn't it? The Australian tag team, now they were Peyton Royce and Billy Kay in WWE. I can't remember their proper names. Once they start appearing on Impact, it'll come to me. So for the time being, if I call them the Iconics or Peyton or whatever, then I apologize, but that's where we're at, okay? So Akuria, so the Decay appear. This kind of, randomness is something I really enjoy with Impact. Gail Kim's being interviewed. She gets interrupted by Decay, who are like, oh, I can't believe that you put, these weak little Australians, the Inspiration, into a tag team with us, the Decay. We're going to murder them. A courier arrives just in the middle of the interview and has a fax, I think. And it's from Sydney, Australia. And it gets handed over, and it's a letter from the Inspiration, basically saying how happy they are to be coming to Impact, how honored everyone should be for them to be there, especially Decay. And I just love the little bit at the end where it says, if you've gotten to the end of this and haven't read it in an Australian accent, please go back to the beginning and start again. This is great stuff already. And they're not even on screen yet. So I can't wait to see the Inspiration on Impact. It's such a big get for them. It's great. Rich Swann versus VSK. Rich Swann gets the win in a pretty uneventful match, but good quality. Almost the quintessential Impact match, where just good, solid wrestling, storytelling is good and solid, and we move on to the next bit. Swingers Palace closes for good. There was some legitimate, I know they were playing this for laughs, but there was some legitimate moments. They kind of had like a flashback montage montage showing the last year, essentially Impact have bunkered down the one place during the pandemic, and Swingers Palace has kind of been a go-to for that. I assume that they did a lot of filming in there, just sort of like, well, we've got 4 minutes to fill here, so let's do something in Swingers Palace. There's been this ongoing joke that Chris Sabian loves Swingers Palace, and so he has like a flashback after they've packed everything up, because his catchphrase was like, I love this place. So Chris Sabian's very upset that that Swingers Palace has gone for good. Some cute little moments here with a couple of the Swingers Palace girls finally telling wrestlers that they're into them, and good stuff. Then it cut to Heath, who finally signs his Impact contract in the Impact boardroom, which seems to be a new place where things are happening all the time. Scott D'Amore hands over the contract. Heath signs it. And he says, look, I'll sign this. I'm so happy to be signing with Impact, but I will only sign it if you set up a tag match at Bound for Glory where I tag with Rhino against Violent by Design. Scott D'Amore quite rightly points out, hey, man, we don't know where Rhino sits with any of this. Do you even know if he wants to tag with you? Heath's like, well, just make the match and I'll worry about Rhino. So next up, we've got a great match between Chris Bay and Chris Sabian. The commentary boys talk about how much Chris Bay's, that he sold like a bazillion t-shirts since he's joined the Bullet Club, which is interesting. Sabian gets the win here. It's a really good match. The Good Brothers have sent in another VHS tape. I don't know what they're filming. Are they trying to make their promos look like old NWO promos, but not as good? I don't quite understand, I don't get it. I don't get the quote. Like, it really takes me out of the show when all of a sudden the Good Brothers have sent in, you know, because they're on the road with AEW. So the storyline is that they're on holiday, but it doesn't really explain why all of a sudden the camera in your phones are terrible. And it's a choice because they do other things where the film quality is great, or, you know, digital film quality is great. Anyway, they say that they want to see a Finn Juice versus Bullet Club number one contender match, and they want an answer about that by the end of the night, or they're going to have to leave their holiday and come back there, which means that they'll be back on Impact next week because they didn't get an answer. Then we got a Battle Royal. There's some really fun spots in here. I really wish Impact wouldn't continue with the Brian Myers versus Matt Cardona thing. I know the argument could be made, it's like, dude, it's kayfabe. In kayfabe, they don't like each other. In real life, they're best mates. But when you go on social media and you see Brian Myers and Matt Cardona doing nothing but, selling their own podcasts the two of them run a business together. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that they're best friends. Unless you're going to go full kayfabe with the angle, and that means across social media, not doing the podcast together, it just feels half-assed. So just don't mention it. Just don't have them feud against each other. Brian Myers has got his own feuds going on. Matt Cardona, they're not really doing anything with at the moment, but just don't mention it unless it is going to be a story. And then if it is a story, then both of the guys need to commit to it. Otherwise, this comes across as a bit half-assed and pointless. I'm also not sure how I feel about mixed matches. I know Impact are kind of pioneers here in having the men and women in the same match. Now, I don't want people to get this twisted. It's not that I don't particularly have a problem with men and women wrestling each other, but I don't know what this particular kind of match does for the women's division. It feels a bit token. You've got 20 people in this match. I think there were four women. Two of them were eliminated almost immediately. Two stayed on until like the last eight and then were eliminated. I don't know if it's the best look to see men throwing women around either. I understand the counter argument of that would be like, well, you know, I mean, we're trying to push it so there aren't men and, you know, male and female divisions, and that's a really admirable thing, and I think great. But if you are going to do that, you need to have, like, if you're going to have women in this match, why not have a woman in the Chris Sabian spot here? You know, like, I know Chris Sabian's a good hand and someone that you can trust to basically be the ring general in a match like this, but just putting four women in a mixed match and having them all thrown out does nothing for anyone. I don't think it pushes the cause of female wrestling. And it just makes it look like, yeah, well, of course men would dominate because they're stronger. You know, like, it just, I feel like maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill here, and over time that will just happen. But, I just don't know how I feel about it. Anyway, the final three in this match were Chris Sabian, W. Morrissey, and Moose. Sabian eliminates Moose, and then he almost has Morrissey out of the ring. Moose comes and pushes Morrissey back in. Morrissey gets the comeback here and then basically just throws Chris Sabian out with one hand. So we've got Morrissey is now, he will enter the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match at number 20. The Call Your Shot Gauntlet match is essentially like a Royal Rumble with a Money in the Bank with Christian and Josh Alexander. Christian's talking about how much he respects Josh Alexander. Josh Matthews shows a clip from an AEW fan fest where someone says they want to see him wrestle Josh Alexander. This is from a few months ago. And Christian says he doesn't know who Alexander is. This leads to Josh Alexander walking out of the interview and saying, look, you know, you either lied then or you're lying now. You don't know who I am, or you do respect me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to teach you to respect me at Bound for Glory at the pay-per-view, which is coming up in 9 days. And then Christian says, well, I keep telling you guys that he can't keep his emotions in check. And then that's the end of the episode. Good episode. I've got to apologize for the drilling here in the background. Wouldn't be a WrestleWolf episode without some person making as much noise as possible. I'm going to leave it there because of the undue noise. Just want to thank you guys for getting on board so much with the smaller formats. Had quite a bit of feedback saying that that you guys are enjoying that, so that's great. If you want to help us out, you can follow us on Twitter. We're WrestleWolfPod. On Instagram, we're WrestleWolfPod on that as well. I will try and get a bit better with updating Instagram. There's just so many social media platforms. It's hard to get around to all of them. WrestleWolf Podcast on Facebook. You can email us at WrestleWolfPodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us, give us 5 stars. That helps us to get us out to more people. The AEW episodes will hopefully be out in the next 24 hours. And then we've got a big week of wrestling coming up. We've got Bound for Glory, more AEW stuff. I know Crown Jewel's coming up. I just don't like the idea of doing a review of that and giving it any more oxygen than it's already going to get. But anyway, guys, I can barely speak over the top of this neighbor of mine who has no respect for anybody else. So on that note, guys, I'm going to leave it there. Until next time, may your wrestling be good wrestling, and good night.